Good morning once again. So your Sunday school lesson this morning was about encouragement, okay? That it's all about encouragement to get us back to where even the early church begins. So how are we, I'm going to ask you this question, how are we going to find this excitement again? This excitement in living our life for Christ. Now, why don't we still have it? Is because life is a hindrance. All of these things that happen in our life, they begin to hinder our relationship with God. So that means our joy in the Lord isn't where it should be. So we need to get back to where we do not allow those things to happen in our life. Now, it starts with a willing desire to serve Christ. We can't find it any other way. We have to have that willing desire to serve Christ, because when we are not serving Christ the way He wants us to, then we're always pointed in a direction, or we're always pointed down a pathway that God does not want us to go. So let's start with this statement that for you and I, as believers, life on this earth means living for God. We understand that. That's what it's all about. So it's very important that we live our lives so that we might spread the gospel of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. That's what our life is all about. So that means in order to do this, we have to what? We have to remain faithful to God so that everything that we try to be, and I'll put it that way, everything that we try to be, because sometimes we don't try really hard, but everything that we try to be, everything that we are in our life, and everything that we are looking forward to in our life is meant, okay, is meant to point others to God. If we haven't covered that part of it, then the things that we're trying to be, the things that we are, the things that we want to be, if it's not meant to point others to God, quit doing it. We need to quit doing it and ask God to help us go in a different direction in our life. This is the only way we're going. So every move that we make should be to proclaim faith, our faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that is Christ and Christ crucified. Now, I'm going to take you over, because see, Paul made this statement when people were questioning his belief. If you go over in the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul made this statement, and it was a very good statement that he made. But over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, here's what he says. He said, let's read verse 1, 2. And he said, I, brethren, when I came to you, so he was talking to the believers in the church, he said, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech. So you can see, I don't have excellency of speech. I can't say the word excellency. Of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you. The only thing I came to do is declare unto you the testimony of God. He said, for I determined not to know anything else. Nothing. And when he said to know anything among you, meaning all the things that are going on within in your personal lives, I don't need to know all those things. If you got something going on, it needs prayed about, just say, hey, we need prayer. But you don't have to go into all. I don't need to know all the little details about it. So he said, this isn't what I came to you. He said, this is what I came for, is Jesus Christ and Him crucified, period. Okay, that's what gets us to heaven. That's what we should be teaching and preaching in the church today. Now, you might say, well, if that's all you preach, people will get tired of hearing it. They'll quit coming because they want their ears tickled with a little bit more. I can tell you that tickling of your ears is not going to help you grow in your maturity. It's not going to help you grow in your faith. It's not going to help you to go out there and show others what the saving grace of Jesus Christ is all about. So we are to present, as believers, our job is to present the truth of the gospel and we're to do it just as simply as we can do it. We don't need to elaborate. We don't need to make up all these big fancy words, so that people might base their faith on the power of God and not on the power of man. How many times have you heard people say, and I ask this question when they say, "Oh, we went to church the other night, we went to revival, we went here. They are the best preacher that I've ever heard." And my first question is what did they preach about? And you know, hardly one of them can tell you a thing that he preached about. But he was the best preacher I've ever heard. I don't want to be the best preacher you've ever heard. I just want to be one that explains the gospel, the saving grace of Jesus Christ, and does it simple so that we might all be able to understand what it's all about. So if we do not have the Spirit of God dwelling within us, then as non-believers, we are limited. But as believers who have the Spirit of God dwelling within us, we should not limit ourselves to understanding the gospel. It's something. If we don't understand the gospel, you cannot, and I'll say again, you cannot blame your Sunday school teacher. You cannot blame your preacher. You cannot blame these other people, the deacons in the church who are supposed to be the wise. You cannot blame them, because understanding comes from God. You and I have to get it from God. So if we don't understand, it's because we don't have that willing desire to understand. So understanding the truth of God's Word, and He will reveal that unto us, helps us in our relationship with Him. In the book of Philippians, and we're going to be in the book of Philippians a lot here this morning. So in the book of Philippians, let's go there real quick. Chapter 3, verse 7. Philippians 3:7. And here's what he says. Philippians 3:7. "Wherefore I was made," here this is Paul, he's saying this. "This is why I was made a minister. I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of that God gave unto me by the effectual working of His power." Every one of us who have been saved, God has given us the gift of grace. And our ministry, your example, however you want to put it, it comes from this gift of grace. But he said it comes by the effectual working of His power. Meaning, how are you allowing God to work in your life? That's how it comes forth. The effectual working of God. So in order to do that, and we can't do this, we have all these things in our life that are worldly. We've got to get rid of them things. We've got to be willing to give up everything. Everything that prevents us from serving Christ. Now, I'm not talking about your wife or your husband, but we're talking about worldly things here. Those things that distract us from serving God. So we've got to be willing to give those things up, because we have the ability, as believers, we have the ability. God has given us the mindfulness. God has given us the love, all these things to glorify Him. If what we're doing, if you are serving God, then everything that you do by serving Him is glorifying Him. If it's not, you're not serving Him. I'm not serving Him. We got to get rid of those distractions in our life. So in order to promote the crucifixion and the resurrection, God has given us purpose in our life to do so. And in turn, this allows us, every activity, every situation, every circumstance, everything that we go through in our life is an opportunity to what? To glorify God. Because if we're glorifying God, we're growing. We're growing in our faith. We're growing in our spiritual maturity. So this means that all of the choices, every choice that we make, has to be motivated by the love of God. If you're making choices in your life that are not motivated according to the love of God, quit making them. They're the wrong choices. They have to be motivated by the love of God, because that's what reflects the glory of God in our life. life. That's what encourages us. That's what builds others up in the Spirit of the Lord. This is where we begin to bring that excitement back into our life in Christ. Have you ever been woken up in the middle of the night and you just on your mind you say, Lord, I don't have that excitement that I need in my life. It's not because you lost it. It's just because you've chosen other directions and those directions aren't glorifying God. In the book of Philippians, I told you it was going to be in Philippians. In the book of Philippians chapter 1. Now, later on, I want you to go back and read this whole chapter, chapter 1. But I'm just going to pick out a few verses or we'll be here all afternoon. So, Philippians chapter 1, and the first verse I want to read is verse 12. Chapter 1, verse 12. And here's what he said. I would have you to what? That you should understand. Okay? Wisdom, knowledge is great. If you don't have understanding, it didn't do you no good to get the wisdom and knowledge. So I would have you to understand, brethren, so we know he's talking to us, he's talking to the believers, that the things which happened unto me, so this is Paul talking, he said, unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. So Paul said, I understand that the things that are happening in my life, see, Paul spent, what, a lot of time in prison, a lot of time in persecution, and he said, I now understand that all of these things weren't just wrath, wasn't condemnation, wasn't trials, just trials and tribute. He said, but it was all, put all that aside. You know, when we start thinking of our life as being one big trial, one big tribulation, one big situation, one big circumstances, then we never see what God wants us to see. He said, I paid attention to all that. He said, now I'm not, because he said, I understand that all of that was just to further the gospel of the grace of God. That once I begin to learn that, then I begin to see the motivation in it. See, a lot of times we let that stuff discourage us in our life. God is doing, He's allowing those things to happen because He wants to motivate us in our life. He wants to encourage us in our life so that we may continually faithful. You know, people say, oh, God's not taking, I'm just going to quit going to church because God isn't doing nothing for me. Well, I can tell you, if you want to see God quit doing anything for you, quit going to church. Alright? Don't blame God. He's trying to motivate us. He's trying to encourage us. He's trying to promote things within the body of Christ. Because He doesn't just want us to grow, but He wants to show others. He wants to use your life. He wants to use my life to show others the greatness of the power of God. We cannot do it if we're not excited. If we don't have a willing desire to serve the Lord, others are going to see that. Now, they can't blame that on you, but they'll certainly use that for an excuse not to do what God wants them to do. Well, if they don't have to go to church every Sunday, why should I? See, we've got to set the example. So we have to, God's trying to promote that within us. This opportunity to glorify Him. So living for Christ means that we make choices that are motivated by His love. And when we begin to make choices that are motivated by His love, then we begin to tell others what that love is truly all about. In 2 Timothy, we're going to go out of Philippians just for a minute. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. And here's what he said. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of. So you have to put those two things together because we learn a lot of things in life and a lot of things that we learn aren't worth learning. But he said, continue, Roger's laughing, continue in the things that you learn, but they're things that you've been assured of, meaning assured of by the Holy Spirit in your life. Those are the things that he wants us to continue in. He said, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. We learned them from God. We don't give man credit for the things that we learn. Now, granted, we learn a lot of things. We learn songs, we learn Bible verses, we learn this, we learn that as we go to church, as we mature, as we grow in our faith. But just because man has helped teach it, you didn't learn it from man. You learned it from God, because God's the one that gave you the understanding of it. You probably would have never remembered it had God not given you some kind of understanding. It would have just went in this ear and out this ear. So God has given us this understanding. So this is where this comes from in our life. So we're many things will motivate us as Christians, and many things will help to increase our efforts in our ministry. But we have to learn to focus. How many of you have trouble focusing? I'm the only one. No, there's a couple. Okay. who was it the other day? I was over at Big Isaac Church, and we was doing something, and the camera, and we was doing with it, and Susie picked up the book and said, "Here, won't you try reading the instructions?" I don't focus very well. Somebody has to point me in that right direction. So we have to learn to focus, but we have to choose to do that in our life. So, and we have to choose to always look towards things that are positive. Is the glass half empty or is it half full? To most people, it's half empty. We have to choose to see things positive. Every situation and circumstance in our life has a positive light to it if we'll choose to focus upon the Holy Spirit, because He's trying to show us that positive part of it. So He wants us to, He doesn't want us to feel obligated, but He wants us to be obligated to always defend the interpretation of the truth of God's Word. Meaning, always look towards the positive side of the Word of God. The promises and the commandments that God has given unto us in their life. And He says if we do this, then He said, we'll rejoice. Well, every time something happens in our life, we'll rejoice because of it, and we'll proclaim the power of God through it. So we need to learn to respond in a positive manner. So in Philippians, in the same chapter 1, I'm just going to go to verse 8. And here's what it says. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. Okay? It doesn't matter what it is. Christ must be preached. And I therein do rejoice and will rejoice. Okay? So Paul knew there was a lot of times in his life he had no reason to rejoice if he would have looked at those things as things that were brought upon him to hinder his relationship with God. He didn't look at them that way. He looked at them as things that brought upon opportunities to glorify God in his life. So every circumstance we rejoice in. Okay? Something happens, people look at you like you're crazy. Praise the Lord for that. God is going to take care of that in my life, because God is in every situation in my life. And He's in control of every situation in my life. If you don't believe that God is going through things with you, then you're doubting the indwelling Holy Spirit that lives within you. Because He's going through all of those things with you. That ensures unto us that the gospel is continuing to work. That the truth of God's Word is continuing to work in our life. And God, through the Holy Spirit, is trying to show us the workings of that. So that means we've got to pray. Okay? One of the things that we've got to pray. Whatever motivates us in our life in Christ, we've got to pray about it. Well, I don't have time to pray every day. Yeah, you don't have time not to pray every day. You don't have time not to pray about every situation that is taking place in your life. Whether you think it's truthful or not true, well, I'm not going to pray about that because there's no truth in that. You should pray about it. Because if you don't, Satan will use that to lead you in the wrong direction. He'll use that to lead me in the wrong direction. So we've got to pray about it. We've got to study. We've got to meditate on the Word of God. So the goal of our life in Christ is that we glorify God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, we've started that process because we accepted His saving grace. So we started that process of glorifying God through Christ. So now we need to continue that process in our life. God does not like to see our life become, our relationship with Him become hindered because of the afflictions that we think we have in our life. Verse 21. Here, y'all all memorize this verse. And don't just memorize the words. Remember where it's at. Philippians 1:21. Here's what Paul said. And he was excited when he wrote this. I'm surprised in your Bibles it ain't in great big bold letters. But he said, "For me to live is what? Christ. And if I die, I've gained." I'm living for Christ here upon this earth. If I die, you know where I'm going to be? I'm going to be with Him. There should be some excitement in that in our life. But yet, we go to the doctor. The doctor gives us a prognosis. And, oh, I'm dying. What am I going to do? Well, I can tell you, I'm going to be with the Lord. See, those things aren't meant to bring us down. Those things are meant to build us up. For me to live is Christ. But if I die, I've gained even more. Because I'm going on to be with the Lord. So, Paul learned to place his confidence completely in God. When we don't place our confidence completely in God, then every situation, every circumstance, every affliction, now we're not trusting that those things are in God's hands. But He's always in control. The only time... And I don't want to say that God is never in control, because God is always in control. But the only times that control tries to come back to us is because we tried to take it away from God. Nobody else done it. It was us. Now, He might let you have a little bit of free reign, but He's still always in complete control. So that means as believers, there is a benefit to faithfully serving God. And the benefit is serving Him is far greater. The benefit of serving Him is far greater than the sacrifice that you or I will ever make. And it doesn't matter what you think you've sacrificed through your life, it's still beneficial to serve God. Because there's no sacrifice that you or I can make that would be greater than the one that God made to get you to where you are in your life in Him today. None greater. So we should see that and understand that in our life in Christ. That this is what God has for me in my life. This is where God wants me to be. God wants me, and the reason I say God wants me to be excited, because that comes from that willing desire. When I wake up of a morning, Lord, what can I do to better serve You today? Not, Lord, oh, please help me through this day. I know it's going to be another rough one. Do you not think God already knows that? So, Lord, what can I do to better serve Thee today? That willing desire that gives us that excitement and that opportunity. Why do we not have it? We lack confidence. Verse 25. Paul said, "Now I have this confidence. I know that I shall abide and continue with you all, but it's for your furtherance and your joy in the faith." You know, if you start doing stuff for other people the way God wants us to, you'll find out that it's more rewarding than just doing for yourself. Because it's going to give you that confidence to know that God is allowing us to help somebody else by lifting Him up. We talked about this a little bit in Sunday school class. A lot of people do stuff, but they're only doing it to lift themselves up. But we're doing it to lift Christ up. Every area of our life, we want to glorify God. So when somebody says, "Oh, you done a good job with that," say, "God done a good job through me with that." See, it's the way we respond when people say those things to us in our life. So God has started, through our salvation, He has started a good work within us. And He says He'll complete that work. Let's go read that verse. It's in Philippians. Let's back up in verse 6, chapter 1. Here we go. "Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you," or in me, and we're talking about God the Father through the Son, by the indwelling Holy Spirit, "will perform it until" what? "The day of Jesus Christ." Meaning that when we go on to be with Him, then there's a completeness to that. But He said, "This is a promise that I make unto you. Be confident, because I started the work within you. You accepted it, but I started it." And He said, "I'm going to continue to perform it. You got to choose. You got to choose to follow my instruction. You got to choose to be obedient." So those times that you think God's work isn't being performed in your life, whose fault is it? Yeah, we want to blame it on God, but it's our own fault because we've chosen a wrong pathway, a wrong direction. But He still made the promise, "I'm still going to perform it. I'll get you back on track. But this is what I'm going to do." God is going to bring us into our maturity in Him if we will allow Him to do so. Okay? So our purpose is first to live for the glory of God. If I'm living for the glory of God, then everything that I do is going to fall under that category. So if I'm living for the glory of God, now I'm going to be able to preach the word of truth. And when I say preach, I'm talking about teaching, preaching, living example. It's all going to be according to the obedience of the word of truth. And everybody that sees or hears will know and understand and will see that I have peace. When people look at you, do they see somebody that has peace of mind, or do they see somebody that's in turmoil all the time? Don't answer that question. God would like them to see somebody that has peace in mind. When we begin to understand our salvation, we'll find peace of mind. If we don't have peace of mind, we still got a ways to go with our understanding. But we're striving for that. So God helps us to realize in our life. It doesn't matter whether we live or whether we die in Christ. Christ is there. He's there. This life is a beneficiary program for Him. The more we benefit Him, the longer He allows us to live, the greater the things that He allows us to do. And it has great advantages, not just to us, but to others around us. Because a life that is passionate, a life of excitement, a life of willing desire for Christ, is a life of victory. It doesn't matter what circumstance or situation that we might be going through, we still have victory. We still have victory through it. Paul taught us that. We still have victory through it. So no matter what happens, we discover that a life lived for God becomes our life of contentment in God. And that's where God wants us to be. So Paul, here, I'm going to read you one more verse. Chapter 4, verse 11. Here's what he said. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Now, a lot of people say, well, Paul's talking about in his life of maturity in Christ, he's just okay where he is, and he's content with that and doesn't worry about growing anymore. That's not what he's talking about. He said, in whatsoever state I am, meaning no matter if I'm feeling happy, if I'm feeling sad, if I'm going through a trial, through a tribulation, if I have let myself be deceived and I have fallen prey to sin, no matter what state I am, my contentment comes through God because I know He's the one that's going to take care of me in my life. That's another verse you ought to write down and memorize. So when all of these things come against us, so the joy and contentment in our life in Christ is what? Now pay attention to this because we'll all answer this wrong the first time around. But it's to see others grow in their faith and in their spiritual maturity and in their life in Christ. Because when we see others grow, it blesses us. And we know because we can see the power of God at work. So that means everything that we do in our life, we do not do anything that would cause us to be ashamed while we are in the presence of God. Now, most people think, well, I'm in church, I'm in the presence of God, I really don't do anything that I would be ashamed of. I can tell you as a Christian, you're always in the presence of God because He's right there. There is no in and out of the presence of God. We are always in God's presence. So that means we should never, ever do anything that would cause that to happen in our life. Christ should be first and foremost in our life. And when we begin to show forth that willing desire, and when we're able to say that we are living to glorify God, this should stimulate that willing desire in our life to do everything possible to live for Christ. Even if it means giving up things in the world that we really like to hold on to, when Christ begins to show us those things, He'll show us that those things are hindering our relationship with Him. And that's why we've lost the willing desire to go to church. That's why we've lost the willing desire to pray about everything. That's why we've lost the willing desire to turn off the TV and study the Word of God. So Christ wants to get us back to... And who's guilty of that? We all are. So He just wants us to spend more time with Him. Paul said, I learned that through a lot of trials, tribulations, afflictions, and trouble in my life. He said, I finally learned that for me to live is what? Did you already forget the verse? For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Lord. Lord, we're thankful for every opportunity. Lord, especially the ones we don't understand. And we pray not just for wisdom and knowledge, but we pray, Lord, to search for that understanding. Lord, we want to better serve Thee. Lord, we want to grow in our faith. We want to mature in our life in You, Heavenly Father. For we want that willing desire to always be in our activities where You would have us to be. So we pray this day that whatever it is that is hindering our life in You, that You'll help us to overcome that, Lord. you'll help us to see the encouragement and the motivation to put aside those things that we're doing in the world and say, we're going to serve you, Heavenly Father. And we just pray this day as we come to see and to know and to realize that in our life, Lord, we know we'll experience then once again the joy of our salvation. So we pray this day, Lord, that you would help us to continue to follow after the leadership and the guidance of your Holy Spirit so that we always may found doing those things, Lord, that are pleasing unto thee. Lord, allowing our light to so shine before others that they may see your good works within each and every one of us. Forgive us this day, Lord, where we have sinned and fallen short of your glory. Help us, Lord, not to forget to give you praise, honor, and glory for all things. For in Jesus' name we pray, and amen. Okay, remember Thursday evening Bible study here at the church. We are still going over some of the scriptures that show us the security of our salvation. So we want to continue on with that just a little bit because we want everybody to understand how important it is to know that you are secure in your salvation. Okay, is there anything else?
Next Sunday is the third Sunday. We got
communion. Okay, yeah, next Sunday I'll be over at Big Isaac. Pastor Lou will be here to preach. Brother Roger will be have communion service with you, so let's not forget that.
And one more reminder, on the 20th.
Okay, Nancy and I did get a stop in last time for a little bit, and it's really enjoyable. If anybody wants to go, everybody is welcome. It starts at what time?
At 6.
At 6. Mm-hmm. A lot of good fellowship. So if you got time, plan on going over and being a part of that. You don't have to take nothing, or you just show up and be a part of the fellowship. Yes. They always have a lot of good food, and so everybody is welcome to do that. Also, on the first Sundays when we are going over and joining in fellowship, you don't have to prepare or take anything, but after service, we've been having breakfast. It's been really good. So we want to encourage you to also stay and be a part of that fellowship as well. Anything else? Bring lots of scripture for Bible study. All right, let's stand. Praise the Lord 3 times. Everybody ready? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you all for joining in on the phone. All right, you guys have a good day.